Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was in high school, my grandfather came to live with us. He was a mechanic, and that's probably where I got my love of cars from hanging out with him. I remember one time I was out banging on a fender, trying to knock it back into shape, and he told me, "You'll never get to heaven if you bend cold iron." It was something that he had learned from a blacksmith when he was a young man living in Botno, working on a Model T race car that he was going to race on the local dirt track. At the time, I can remember thinking, that's kind of strong. Is it really going to keep me out of heaven if I bang on this fender without heating it up first? Well, obviously not. But it sure seems like everybody has an opinion about what it means to live a good life, to be a good person, and to be acceptable before God. In the New Testament, the people with the strongest opinions about how to live a good life were often the Pharisees. They had studied the history of Israel, and they determined that the reason things kept going so poorly for them was that they didn't follow the law carefully enough. So they made sure to follow the law with absolute precision. They were so careful to avoid breaking the law of Moses that they made up a whole extra set of laws to go around it, like bubble wrap around a vase, just to make sure that they didn't even get close to breaking the law. Then they taught all these rules to the people and helpfully enforced the public obedience to them. Today's gospel reading applies to us, and that's why John recorded it for us, but Jesus was preaching to the Pharisees when he said it. Looking back at the Pharisees today, we almost always hear bad things, think of them in a bad way, but I don't think they're getting a fair shake. They were trying to serve God in the best way they knew how, the way they were taught to do it. Unfortunately, they were taught wrong. We got to remember, the law of Moses was given to Israel so that God's people, the ones made righteous by their belief in a coming Messiah, could live near God, with him dwelling right in their midst. The law was to solve a particular problem. How can sinful human people live near a holy God? Where they went wrong was not in trying to follow the law, but in forgetting about the promised Messiah. Believing in the Messiah, that was the main thing. That was the source of their salvation. Does that mean that the law was optional? Of course not. God was dwelling with them. He was a visible presence sitting right on top of the Ark of the Covenant, first in the tabernacle, later in the temple. If they didn't follow the law, that presence would become a curse to them. To those who believed in the Messiah, though, the law was a delight. It meant that they could safely come near to the living God, the God who had created heavens and earth, who had rescued them from slavery in Egypt, who had defeated their enemies and given them the land that they lived in. However, to those who forgot about the Messiah, who forgot that he was going to redeem them from their sins like he redeemed Israel from slavery, to them, the law was nothing but a burden. Without the Messiah to redeem you, you must become your own redeemer. You'll figure out a set of rules and you'll teach people to follow them. Or as our friendly blacksmith might say, you'll never get to heaven if you don't follow the rules. That's the state where we find most of the Pharisees. That's why we see them arguing with Jesus, because he kept breaking the rules and teaching other people to break them. But meanwhile, he was doing all these miraculous things that clearly meant that he was a prophet sent by God or something greater. They'd forgotten about the Messiah, or at least they didn't believe that he was coming to save them. They're the teachers of Israel, But they have forgotten the foundation of their faith, and they only remembered the outward appearance of it. So it's to them that Jesus gave this parable, the door to the sheepfold. I'll refresh our memory by reading part of it again. Truly, truly, I say to you, he that does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Jesus is painting a picture here of a sheepfold. It's literally the court of the sheep. It's got a door and a wall that goes all around it. The sheep are safe inside. But someone is trying to get to the sheep by climbing over the wall. He's a thief coming to steal the sheep. He's a robber coming to take the sheep by violence and to steal whatever is of value. So who are the sheep in this picture and who are the thieves? The sheep are people who believe in the Messiah, and the thieves are the Pharisees. The sheep are us, since we believe in the Messiah. We just call him Christ instead. Who's the shepherd? Well, of course, we'll think Jesus because he's the good shepherd. He's the shepherd so good and so noble that he's the best shepherd ever. But in this parable, the shepherd is any teacher. An apostle, a pastor, or even a Sunday school teacher. In fact, the shepherd and the thieves are both teachers. The difference is in what they teach. Jesus says the thief comes to steal the sheep and destroy the flock. If you ask the thief, he'll say he's doing a good thing. He'll say he's doing it for a good reason. People will always justify their actions, regardless of good intentions, though. The result, in this case, is the destruction to the sheep. On the other hand, the shepherd is focused on caring for the sheep. He's leading them through the door to a good grazing because he wants them to be healthy and happy. He's responsible for them. He knows them by name. He cares so much for them, and it's good that they follow him. The way Jesus tells us to identify who is the shepherd and who is the thief is really quite simple. The shepherd goes through the door, but the thief goes over the wall. Maybe our blacksmith would say, you'll never get to heaven if you take the sheep over the wall. Now let's assume that no one here wants to be counted among the thieves and the robbers, so this door is important to understand. What do we know about the door? Well, the Pharisees didn't understand it. So in verse 7, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. The shepherd goes through the door and leads the sheep the same way. Jesus is the door, and in verse 9, he says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. The door is the easy way to go in and out. It leads to a good life for the sheep. Remember, the sheep are everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah, and that going through the door is how they live their lives, acting on their faith in Jesus. The thief, on the other hand, goes over the wall, avoiding the door and avoiding Jesus. This is the hard way for the sheep to go. Since they can't get over the wall, they die. The thief is avoiding Jesus, teaching the law, the outward discipline, as the way to lead a good life and the way to save yourself. This is the hard way for us, too. We can't lead a good life or save ourselves. This way leads to death. Now you might be thinking, well, that's great. Jesus didn't like what the Pharisees were teaching and compared them to thieves and robbers. But I'm not a teacher, so this doesn't apply to me. I'd like to suggest that in the same way that we're all sheep because we all believe in Jesus, we're also all teachers. Every time you give advice to a friend, you are being a teacher in that moment? Do you advise them to try harder, to be better and smarter, and to focus on the things here and now? Or do you advise them to cast their cares upon Jesus? Do what is given to them to do, and let trust him to work everything out for their benefit. Every time you respond to a provocation, an insult, an offense, even a bad driver, or just somebody bumping into your cart at the grocery store, you are being a teacher to whoever sees your response. Now, I get to stand up here and teach in a formal way, but each of us, myself included, have opportunities to teach the people around us. And when we do, we choose one of two ways: either guiding back to Jesus and his love and forgiveness for us, or away from him to a path that leads to destruction. Now, our blacksmith friend, he might hear this and say, "You'll never get to heaven if you don't lead everyone back to Jesus." But really, this isn't any better than "you'll never get to heaven if you bend cold iron." It points us to our works and away from Jesus' sacrifice for us. The blacksmith couldn't stand people bending cold iron, and he wasn't wrong about metalworking, but in terms of getting to heaven, he couldn't be more wrong. In my experience, nearly everyone has a favorite sin that they like to encourage everyone else to avoid. Maybe it's smoking or drinking. Maybe it's cussing or something worse. But, and this is a big but, it can be too easy to tie that to what it means to be Christian. If you do that, you're acting like a thief. If we want to be shepherds, we do it by leading the sheep through the door and back to Christ. He forgives our sins and their sins, even the ones that we don't especially like. His forgiveness is the weapon that we wield against an unruly world. Our message should lead people through the door. It should be, "Remember, Jesus loves you. He died to take away your sins, and now you don't have to live like a slave to those sins any longer." Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.